Thank you, Jerry. Joe, Tom, you guys all travel well, and we will see you at the Old Ball Yard tomorrow night, and we'll see if any changes are made in between now and then. The Blue Jays, who have the best offense and worst pitching in baseball through the first 26 games of the season, come home 12-14. A very disappointing 10-7 loss to the Indians today. They had a 6-1 lead in the fourth. Devin Travis with that grand slam. An inning in which the Indians did pretty much everything wrong. And they couldn't hold on to it. It's the fourth time in six starts that Drew Hutchison hasn't been able to get through five innings. And in every one of those four starts, the Blue Jays have scored a bunch of runs while he was still in the game. 27 runs for Drew Hutchison in those four starts. Again, not after he left, while he was still in the game. 27 runs. And he couldn't get through five in any of them. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's Blue Jays talk it up right up until the top of the hour. We begin with Russ in New Jersey. You back in New Jersey, Russ?
Yes, I am, Mike. How are you?
Good. Russ called Thursday from Cleveland.
Blue Jays, as a fan, you have to be very, very concerned about the pitching. You know, before the season started, the way I looked at it was, you know, Hutchison should be good. Now, is he an ace? Is he not the number one pitcher? Maybe, you know, like by some people's standards. But if he'll be good, and, you know, Dickey and Burley, as much as Burley, they're a little bit up there in age, if they could be solid, and the other two guys, I thought you'd get a lot of inconsistency out of maybe Sanchez and Norris for the first time starting. But you could probably live with it with the offense that the Blue Jays have.
Right.
But at this point, it's like you said. It's he's been knocked out four of the six games before he hasn't gotten through, you know, five innings. Even the game at Yankee Stadium, which I saw you. I know you gave up one run in six innings. There's some hard hit balls right at people. The Baltimore game, he pitched very well. But I'm saying every night, and it gets to the offense. It's got to hurt because the guys are just looking at it like, what do we have to do to win a game? Do we have to score 15 every night? I'm saying I don't know where they go from here because the bullpen's going to be worn out early, and I just it's not like it's been one or two games. It's just every game is five, six runs they give up, and you can't win consistently like that. It must be getting to some of the hitters on the Jays, you know, the pitching that they've been getting.
I'm sure they're not happy about it, but it's not showing. I mean, they're leading the major leagues in runs scored. They're scoring 5.5 runs a game, and they got seven more today. So, you know, whether they're happy about it or not, and they can't be, and I'm sure you're right, that they do shake their heads and go, man, do we have to score 10 runs every night in order to win ball games? But they're coming close. You know, they've scored 5.5 runs a game on average all season long, which should be enough to win. But the pitching staff, the starting pitching, and I know the bullpen hasn't been terrific, but for me, this is 98% on the starting pitching because not giving him a chance.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't go to these guys every single, you know, night. You know, you got to get some seven. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, you got the one, I think Hutchison went the Baltimore game, you know.
Went eight. Baltimore.
And Norris went 7-1 game. I think Dickey went 7-2. Otherwise, you've got four games where they've gone seven innings, and the rest of the games, for the most part, have been five or under. You can't keep on throwing guys out there every single night in the fifth and sixth inning to come in from the bullpen. Eventually, it wears on you. Do you think there's any chance there's something wrong with Hutchison, or you don't think there's a chance? Like,
yeah, there's a chance. There's always a chance, right? But and you never know. But that Baltimore game was just so good. I don't know. I mean, would it surprise me if we found out that Drew Hutchison's going on the disabled list tomorrow? No, it wouldn't. But I doubt it. You always kind of think when performance is this off that there's something wrong because he's a much better pitcher than this, clearly. But so far they're not saying anything. So we can only go from that. Thank you, Russ. Appreciate the call. As always, Blue Jays lose 10-7. And again, for the fourth time in six starts, Drew Hutchison fails to get out of the fifth inning. And in those four starts, the Blue Jays have scored him 27 runs. Why is that significant? Well, because it makes your job a lot easier. When you're a starting pitcher with a big lead, really all you have to do is throw strikes. Now, Hutchison only walked one today. But when you're up 6-2 going into the bottom of the fifth inning, you should be able to finish that fifth inning. Joseph is in London. Joseph, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm all right, thank you.
Well, fair enough after after watching and listening to what just happened. You know, like, as frustrating as it is, you have to take the optimistic approach, you know, and I'm not trying to look at everything through rose-colored glasses, but you got to think, and this is maybe what I'm thinking that, you know, AA is thinking too, is that if the pitching is decent, now everyone has a different definition of what decent is,
sure.
but if the pitching is decent, they go, well, that's okay, because if we give up three or four runs, we can easily... put seven or eight on the board. The thing is, though, is what happens when the offense cools down, and I'm not saying they're going to, you know, completely shut breakdown, but, you know, it's a little concerned. But you got to think that Hutch is going to bounce back. You got to think, and you don't know, obviously, where you're going to get out of Burley and Dickey, but you do know you're going to get at least six, seven innings from those guys per start, which is awesome. But my question to you, and I'm really curious about this, if you can look this up maybe, because I did know that Hutchison now has 27 runs as far as for support for him. But
just
I'm curious
of how
many runs and maybe earned runs, maybe or unearned, but how many runs have been gone against him while he's in the game, not after, while he's in the game. And out of the 14
two,
losses,
I think.
Two.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
I think only two runners have been given up, and that was Jeff Francis today. I'll check, though.
Yeah, but that's amazing when you think about it then, and how the fact that he's not able to get through five. And then the second thing, I guess, is out of the 14 losses that the Jays have this year, is how many of them have been quality starts? I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to have the thought on maybe trying – I don't know who else you can bring up from the minors if you needed to send them down just for conditioning. Thanks for taking my call, by the way. I appreciate it. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that call. It'll take me a little too long to try to figure out how many of the starts have been quality starts of the Blue Jays losses. I'm looking now through and I see four runs. So there were two other runs in the other four games that were given up Hutchison's runners after he's left the game. So a total of four of his runs have scored after he left. Hutchison, and if you want to go through it piece by piece of these four starts that I'm talking about, and maybe that is the best way to illustrate it, let's do that. Hutchison on April 12th in Baltimore had leads of 7-2 and 8-4 and wound up leaving with an 8-7 lead. That's one. April 17th against the Atlanta Braves, he had a 4-1 lead into the fifth, left in a 4-4 tie with a runner on third, and that run scored against the bullpen. Next start was the outstanding one against the Orioles, where he's the only Blue Jay to pitch into the eighth inning, and he finished eight and won that game 7-6. It was 7-2. With nobody on when he left. Then on this road trip, he had a 9-5 lead into the bottom of the fifth, loaded the bases with nobody out in the fifth inning and had to come out of that game. One of those runs scored against Marco Estrada. And today, a 6-1 lead going into the fourth, 6-2 lead going into the fifth. and leaves in the fifth with the score 6-4, two runners on, both of whom scored when Jeff Francis gave up the single to Michael Bradley. So it's certainly not been good for Drew Hutchison so far this season. Mark is in Caledonia. Mark, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. Basically, Mike, I just wanted to reiterate what I've said in the past here, just in the, with the bullpen, I mean, and the starting pitching as a whole, just looking at some numbers here. I mean, an ERA staff today of 4.91, which will pretty much balloon to over 5 after today's outing, I mean, which is good for last in all of baseball. I mean, I don't see why people are, you know, surprised at this with the young pitching that they're putting out there, other than Burley and Dickey, who are the veterans on the staff. I mean, I don't see why fans are so surprised at this. I mean, young pitching technically struggles for the most part year to year anyway in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what your feeling is on that. I mean, I think again, management and ownership really let this team down by expecting this pitching to pull together. I mean, they're getting the run support and they're just not putting it together. I mean, I don't know what you really can say about this pitching other than it's pathetic.
Okay, thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate your take on things. The pitching has been really, really bad. Should we have expected the Blue Jays to carry a team ERA over 5 into the second month of the season because there were 4 rookies on the staff? No. Is there any reasonable expectation that the pitching was going to be this bad? No. Is the pitching actually this bad? No. It's just pitching really badly. Can 6 guys have a bad month at the same time? Apparently the answer to that is yes, because it just happened. And no, they're not showing any signs of coming out of it. But nobody ever shows any signs of coming out of things until they come out of things. Jay in North York, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Jay.
Oh, hey, Mike. I just drove back from Cleveland this morning. I had to get back in town. We were there for the game yesterday. It was great to see all the Jays fans there. And I was driving over the bridge in Buffalo, and I saw from afar at the Pepsi Field the AAA club. So
yeah, you
should have
stopped in.
I was thinking, let's go. And my daughter's like, no, Daddy, I want to go home. I'm like, okay, next time. Anyway, I'm not concerned being 2 games under 500 in April, but no team should be. There's a lot teams with a lot better rosters and hopes who are worse than the Jays are right now with, whatever, 140 games to play, give or take. The concern is that the future for this season looks a little bit bleak. Now, the Jays decided to go with 3 out of their 5 starting pitchers in April. I don't know what their total payroll is, probably well under $2 million, excluding, of course, Dickey and Burley, who are making about, what, $30 million, $31 or $32 combined.
Yep, and, 32. The other 3 are making about 1.5.
Yeah, something like that, exactly, which is fine because they were the best guys out of spring. And it's not management's fault. I mean, people who are blaming Alex Anthopoulos, he's doing the best he can, and Gibbons is doing the best he can. It's probably an ownership issue, and it probably started last year when the Jays were up 6 games in first place and nothing was done, which is part of the reason why we don't have Casey Jansen on the team. I think it left him with a sour taste in his mouth.
It's nothing to do with why Casey Jansen's not on the team.
Well, he said something of it and made mention, and it may or may not. We don't really know what's in the mind of another person. But
no, but we know the circumstances behind his departure from the Blue Jays. It had nothing to do with that.
Okay, very good. Anyway, here it is. Again, 2 games under, no problem. The problem is the future doesn't look that good.
Why is it so? It looks so bleak for the next 5
months. I never thought, even at the beginning of the year, that Hutchison was a very good starter. I thought he's like a 4th starter. I thought he's a guy who's going to probably have an ERA between 4 and 5. We don't have a lot of history. He came out looking good a few years ago. Then he took the year off. He rehabbed. He came back. I just don't see it. Dickey and Burley will even out. We're pretty much hopefully going to get what we've normally been getting from those two guys over the last 2 years, which is fine. But after that, who's to say Norris is going to come back in a month or two,
right,
and be better or be worse? Who's to say that Sanchez is going to straighten out and start throwing strikes and maybe have more consistency? But every time the Jays start a game, there's not one pitcher who you could say, oh, thank goodness it's him.
You're
even
right.
Though Kluber blew up and had a poor April, I bet you when he hits the mound, the Cleveland management and fans go, okay, we got Corey Kluber. He's had a bad month, but he's a good pitcher, and we can at least expect most of the time that he'll give us six or seven or maybe even eight innings, and he'll give us a chance to win. But right now the feeling is...
Yeah, but you were there yesterday.
I was, and he
so
got
even
knocked.
If you even if you have that feeling with Kluber yesterday, what good is that feeling when he goes and gets lit up?
Because you know over 30 starts or 25 starts or however many starts he's going to have, at the end of the season, I feel confident that his ERA will be far lower than it is now, that he'll have a lot more quality starts than, let's say, I don't know, Drew Hutchinson at this point of the season.
Okay, but that's not a fair comparison. But let me ask you this, Jay. You said that Burley and Dickey will get back to what they have always been, right?
We hope.
You said that Drew Hutchinson, you feel like, is a guy who should have an ERA somewhere between 4 and 5, right?
Yeah, about 4.5.
Let's say. It's 7.5 now.
Right.
So you're expecting major improvements from three starting pitchers the rest of the way, from Burley, Dickey, and Hutchinson.
Well,
and you have to deal with the fourth and fifth to see what you're going to get out of that, whether it's Norris and Sanchez, whether it's Estrada, whether it's Scott Copeland, whether it's Randy Wolf, whatever it is,
a right.
couple of guys at the bottom of the rotation. So you're expecting major improvements from 60% of the rotation. Why are you suggesting that it looks really bleak?
I am not expecting necessarily those improvements. What I am saying is we're in a big Toronto Blue Jays pitching is in a big problem. It's a big concern, and I think it's such a huge concern right now, and I know it's early, but unless something doesn't happen, and I don't know what. I remember we're dealing with an ownership group that reminds me of, you know, a 90-year-old millionaire retired man who's afraid to go and, you know, buy fresh strawberries because they're $4.99 a pound. They're still looking for a bargain. We're looking at an ownership group that didn't really sign when it may have had opportunity to a Neshek or a Gregerson. And I don't even think the Jays were ever even close to signing a guy like Miller or Robertson because that $10 million a year or whatever they got, that was crazy.
Right.
But
so was what Neshek and Gregerson got.
Did they get $10 million a year?
No, but it was equally crazy that the two of them got $6 million a year each.
Yeah,
I think you're missing a point here. When you call out ownership to the extent that you are, it's that this is a top 10 payroll in Major League Baseball.
Right.
This is a $128 million payroll. This
yeah.
isn't a team that's, you know, scraping nickels together.
No.
This team has a very, very large, I mean, it's not the Dodgers, it's not the Yankees. This team has a strong and significant payroll, $128 million, with some room to go up from what we're led to understand.
Well, when they traded Adam Lind
yeah.
or, I'm sorry, the guy from...
Marco Estrada.
Marco Estrada. And to me, I don't care if Adam Lind only hits against right-handed hitters. He's going to hit... There's more right-handed pitchers than lefties. And the guy hit over... When I saw that they did that, I couldn't really see why, other than saving a few million dollars. And when they did that, you know, that was one sign. And, yeah, you know what? I was fine grabbing a guy like Neshek or Gregerson and that in that vein. Where are the Houston Astros now, by the way? You know, I mean, I don't know, little things like that. And I think, and I know they have a high payroll. You got $22 million on Burley and Reyes is making, or 19, I don't know what he's making.
20 Reyes on Burley, 22 on Reyes.
Man, Reyes, and that's huge. And they picked that up from the Florida signing. And now we're sort of stuck. I think it's Burley's last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And then another a couple of years maybe with Reyes. And that sucks that we've got Reyes, who's on the DL all the time, paying him all this money. Although when healthy, he may be very well worth all that money. And that's too bad that we had to pick up that money and that experiment didn't exactly succeed. But still, when you're doing stuff like that, and, you know, I still never really got a good answer about Melky Cabrera, who signed in essence for $1 million or $2 million more a year in Chicago than he would have been offered here in Toronto, for a guy who said he wanted to stay here. Maybe he was lying and he didn't want to stay here, and he's a money-hungry guy who just cares about making as much as he possibly can. But, you know, when I look at all these things, they make me think, it would be kind of nice to have a strong guy out of the bullpen. It would kind of be nice to have Adam Lind at first base as opposed to just Dustin Smoke. And it would kind of probably be nice to have one of those relievers guys. And that would cost maybe $10 million more if you subtract who we got, you know, from Dustin Smoke and Saunders. Or
all right, Jay, thank you. I got to let you go. I've given you more than enough time. I think the Neshek and Gregerson thing, and Pat Neshek has an ERA over 5 right now out of the bullpen with the Astros. For me, they both got way too much money, and I'm not interested in signing a reliever to a deal of 2 or 3 years at that kind of dough, especially a guy like Neshek who's never had 2 great years in a row. That's not where I want to spend my money. And again, the bullpen has not been the issue with this team. The starting pitching has. And the starting pitching, as you said yourself, bound to get better. Mike in Burlington. Hello, Mike.
How are you, Mike?
I'm all right.
Tough act to follow from that last caller, I guess.
Well, I'm not giving you 10 minutes, though.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on what I see that it might be an issue, or it might not be. I want to get with your thoughts around it. Do you think that there might be some kind of a philosophical disconnect between the pitchers and the coaching staff?
No.
I mean, you don't think so? Because
no.
I see them always, you know, and I remember at spring training, I can't remember which pitcher was, whether it was Sanchez or Norris had mentioned that, you know, the focus has always been for them, get strike one, you know, strike one, strike two as fast as you can. And I always see, and it's kind of frustrating to watch, I feel like they're always trying to nibble on the corners and trying to, you know, be too perfect and too fine instead of going after really these pitchers with the stuff they have. Sorry, the hitters, and getting strike one and kind of getting ahead in the count and controlling the at-bat. I always feel like they're trying to nibble and trying to be a little bit too fine, and then they get caught, you know, ball two, ball three, and then they come back, and the book is out on them, and it's kind of they're getting these hits when they should be trying to pitch around these guys.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think a coaching staff has to do with a pitcher's inability to get through 5 innings when he's staked to a 3 or 4 run lead? Like how do you see that as a reflection of the coaching staff?
I don't know if it's that much a reflection, but I just think is it a fear then of getting hit? Is it a fear of you know, inflating your numbers? Like that's where I'm kind of having that trouble watching this team in terms of, I feel like there is a message of, you know, be aggressive, strike one. Joe Siddle always talks about it.
Yep.
Get after these hitters, go strike one, strike two, be aggressive. And I always feel like the pitchers are trying to be too fine, they're trying to nibble, they're trying to kind of be too cute with it, as opposed to, like you said today, having a 5-run lead going into the fifth inning, you should be pounding the strike zone. Strike one, strike two, as fast as you can.
Right.
And get these hitters on the defensive.
But the jump that I don't get, honestly, and this is not just from you. I hear this from a lot of people.
No, I understand.
How does that on the coaching staff and not on the pitcher who's the one who's not throwing strikes?
That's what I'm saying. Like my feeling is that the message is strike one, strike two, be aggressive, and the pitchers aren't doing that. So is the I guess the real question is, are they afraid of going in there and being aggressive for fear of getting hit? Or are they enabled to throw strike one? That's where I'm kind of having that trouble in the disconnect in terms of what I see going on. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
I think what it comes down to, I don't think it happens as much as you think, but okay. I think what it comes down to is that they're human beings, and right now they're not doing well. They're not executing, and they're not doing the things that they should be doing. And there's no message, and there's no tip that a coach can give them that'll get them back to doing that. They have to do it themselves. Coaches can help. They can watch video with them. They can talk to them. They can say, look, this is what you need to be doing, or it feels like you're doing this when you should be doing this. But it comes down to the players need to be able to do it, plain and simple.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Got a lot of calls to get to and not a lot of time at all. Theo in Toronto on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm really angered after watching today's game. I was really pumped up. Devin Chavis got his first career Grand Slam, and I was jumping for joy, happy for him. You know, I think he's having an excellent start to his first season on the Blue Jays. And I feel like right now everybody collectively, you know, Pilar and everybody collectively is playing good baseball right now. And I feel like we're selling our hitters and our offense short with our pitching, you know. And I feel like there's no balance, you know.
You're right. You
know, with what we're putting out and the numbers we're putting up on the board and what our pitchers are doing, where there's no balance. And it's really, 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 as a Blue Jay fan and somebody who's, you know, passionate about baseball, it angers you to watch the DJ game because you don't know what to expect. I mean, I watched the game before where they beat even up 11-4. Sorry, 11. And, it was great. You know, I had high hopes. You watched today's game and it's disgusting. And, you know, Hutchinson, I mean, hasn't really had a bad start to the year. I mean, did have a winning record going into today's game. So,
he's had a terrible start to the year.
What's that?
Hutchinson has had a terrible start to the year.
Terrible start, for sure. But he still did have a winning record. And, I watched one of the, I think it was the third inning, and he was pitching, and he threw two fastballs and got two strikes right off the bat, and then he throws a couple changeups, and now the guy's walking, you know. And I don't feel like he's confident in his own pitching. I don't feel like he seems very indecisive to me at times, and that's something that's got to be corrected if we're going to do anything this year. You know what I mean? I feel like our pitching is very indecisive. You know, he threw the two fastballs. It worked. You know, stick with it. You know, and I feel like he's very indecisive. And collectively, as a whole, I think we just got to get our pitching. Like you said, you know, it's not anything to do with management or coaching. It's our pitchers. They got to drop it and they do it. I guarantee you that, you know, in practice, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they, you know, I'm pretty sure they're doing what they need to do in practice. I'm pretty sure they're confident they can throw the, you know, fastballs, curves, whatever. And they got to carry it over into the game if we're going to do anything this year. That's all I want to say.
All right. And you're right. You're right. They have to be better. Period. End of story. Starting pitching has been horrible through the first 26 games. It's got to be better. But don't kid yourself into thinking that Drew Hutchinson is going to finish this year with an ERA of 750, or Mark Burley is going to finish the year doing what he's doing right now with an ERA around 675. Or R.A. Dickey is going to finish the year with an ERA over 5. These are guys who are pitching way, way under what should be expected from them. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us. Blue Jays blow a 6-1 lead. Drew Hutchinson can't get out of the fifth inning for the fourth time in 6 starts. And they fall 10-7 to the Cleveland Indians. The road trip, 3-7. The Blue Jays currently last in the American League East, 4 games behind the New York Yankees, who play tonight at Fenway against the Red Sox in a game that you can hear on most of these Sportsnet Radio Network stations, starting with a pregame at 7 o'clock. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We will do this again tomorrow night. We're on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch to Blue Jays, our home to those New York Yankees. R.A. Dickey gets the ball against Chase Whitley. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brian Calhoun, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Good evening from Toronto.